You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are so blessed. We're grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We really are. So we're going to begin with prayer, and our prayer is going to be our supplication, taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. This is the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lesson and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know, Mother, sisters, we've always talked about this, or we speak about it often, but in that supplication, something very unique, when Louisa is explaining to our Blessed Mother, you know, it seems as if there's something you wish to confide, something new and surprising. And we talked about this. Our Lady speaks of secrets. Our Lord speaks of secrets. And, you know, the language of heaven is not another vernacular. It's not like French or Croatian or Polish. It's just it's a definition. It's an understanding through the vernacular that God is using to speak in our midst. And today it's in the form of English. So, but what he says and what she says, first of all, in day four of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Our Lady states, child of my heart, listen closely. It is the heart of me, your tender mother, which seeks to pour out on itself and to you, my child. I desire to tell you my secrets, which have not been revealed to anyone until now, because the hour of God had not yet come. End quote. I'll stop there. And then our Blessed Lord speaks of a secret, and again, in a myriad of other passages as well. But he speaks in volume 18, February 18th, 1926. Our Lord says this, quote, all these little flames that you see in the endless sea of my will are the symbol of the secret beatitudes, the secret joys, and the secret happinesses that it contains. I say secret because since I have not yet manifested the fullness of this knowledge that the eternal will contains, nor there the rights manifested in its fullness. So that, end quote. So that's what our Lady and our Lord say. And then, okay, so what is exactly a secret? Well, Our Lady is so eloquent to give us that information also. Again, in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, meditation number one. This is, again, the language of heaven. This is the, using the vernacular of secret, this is what our Lord and our Lady mean. Quote, for a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding. End quote. So not only is the word secret in the language of heaven not nefarious, not something, you know, bad that we know we're hiding something. On the contrary, it's being divulged, it's being explained, it's being unleashed because Jesus and Mary, as it states here, believe that we are irresistibly capable of understanding. So actually it's a subtle compliment, it's a humble compliment. They wouldn't be divulging these secrets unless we were ready and poised to receive them. And Jesus says we are ready to receive them and poised. And right now we're ready to receive you, Mother Gabriel. And the Benedictine. Okay. Again, I think my diatribes get longer and longer, but you know, that's just so important, Mother, because I think it sets the context for everything that we talk about today. All the sister and your reflections, all the passages that we may go through, it just encompasses it all, Mother.
Yeah, it's 36 volumes of secrets, and people love secrets. So I suggest you read these secrets. They're wonderful. They're deep knowledges of who God is, his divinity. You know, in the New Testament, we learn about his humanity. Now, this Testament of Sanctification, we call it, is all about his divinity, which is so Fantastic. So beautiful. So I encourage you to read it. I was just reading here in volume 29. It was May 16th, 1931. And our Lord says, my daughter, all the acts done by the creature in the divine will are confirmed by God as divine acts. And this confirmation forms the life of the same acts. And they are sealed with the divine seal as everlasting acts, always new, fresh, and of an enchanting beauty. The acts done by the creature in my will, I could call new creation, and I make in the creature. As she keeps doing her act in it, my fiat asserts itself with its creative strength and forms in it its act, and by right, it confirms it. So when we call God into whatever we do in all of our acts throughout the day, He comes in. We have to believe that. That's a secret too. It's a great secret that, you know, we call him, we believe that he comes and he does the act in us, which makes it a divine act. Divine acts are eternal. They have no beginning, no end. They're eternal. Whereas our human acts all have a beginning and an end. So, you know, everything he loves you so much. He just wants to relive his life in you, but he wants to come. He wants to be invited. He is doing everything in and through you, but he wants you to be aware of his presence. And you know, that makes it a divine act. It goes on to say, our divinity of our own spontaneous will is under the empire of a love that runs irresistibly. For it wants to give to the creature so much so that in creating man, he was created in our order of love by the touches of our divine quality. Our divine being pure spirit, had neither hands nor feet. Our quality served us as hands in order to form man. And pouring over him like a mighty torrent, we molded him. And touching him, we infused in him the effects of our supreme qualities. These touches have remained in man. And this is why certain beautiful qualities of goodness, of ingenuity, of intelligence, and so forth can be seen in him. They are the virtue of our divine touches, and continuing to mold man, produce their effects. They are our pledges of love with which we needed him, that even though he does not remember and perhaps does not even know us, continue their perennial office of loving him. And since when one touches an object or a person, the one who touches feels the impression of the person touched, just as our touches of the divine qualities remained in man, so did the impression of having touched him remain in our soul. So we feel him within us. How not to love him? Therefore, whatever man might do, we go toward him with new devices of love and with our pleasant refrain of loving him always. So, you know, God is... He's always there. He's always with us. We can't do anything without him. But as we invite him, as we realize his presence, as we realize him doing everything in and through us, and we're grateful for all of these activities we can do because he allows it. These are divine touches, and we develop the divine qualities. We take on his divine qualities. So, you know, for years and years in the spiritual life, many religious, and I was one of them, we try to practice virtue. We try to learn to be more patient, more kind, more loving, obedient, following the vows. But you keep falling because you're trying to do it. And when we try to do it ourselves, we're thinking of ourselves. We're wrapped up in self. So that's why we keep failing. But when we stop thinking of ourselves and we think of him within us doing everything, we automatically practice the virtue because he's practicing, he's living the virtue within us. So when we let go of ourselves and we let God take over, things change. We get a lot of joy, a lot of peace. You find your life changing. People don't bother you the same. I'm sure a lot of people out there listening have been reading the Divine Will writings, and you've seen yourself changing through the time since you began to read these volumes. It's so beautiful. And when you're having a hard time, you're having a hard day, you just sit down and read a few minutes. You're going to see that your whole attitude changes. Right. You get peace and joy. The problem goes away. It's not so big. We magnify problems. We make mountains out of molehills, you know. And when you read the Divine Will, you realize how silly it is to blow up all these things out of proportion. And our Lord told Louisa in somewhere in the volumes that when you worry, you're out of his will. So if you want to remain in his will, stop worrying. Yeah, if you want to stop worrying, it might help you to stop watching the news. Because it's hard not to worry when you watch the news. There have been problems around the world since the beginning of time.
That's right.
But it wasn't televised. Nobody knew it. We're not aware of it. I told the story before. Some people might have heard it that are listening, but Mother Angelica, when she was trying to start the radio network here in Italy, she was riding around in the mountains with this her guide that was spoke Italian, and they got lost. And this older woman about in her 80s, invited them in for some wine and some bread and cheese. And they were talking about World War II, and she never heard of World War II. She lived through it, because she didn't have newspapers, and you know, they didn't listen to the radio, I guess. She didn't know there was a war being fought in her country, and she was at peace. So, you know, you don't need to know what's going on around the world. You can't do anything about it anyway, and you don't need to know about it to pray about it. Your prayers touches every heart throughout the world. You don't need to know where it's going, or if you made the Mompet consecration, Our Lady takes all your prayers anyway and distributes them where she wants to put them. So, you know, I don't think you need to watch the news to know what to pray for. Just pray for all mankind and be at peace. But yeah, the news can really be dissipating. If you want to spend that time, or this Lent especially, you might want to spend that time that you'd be listening to the news, reading the Divine Will writings, and then you would have peace, and you would have accomplished something much greater than just relaxing in front of the TV watching the news, which if you're relaxing when you start watching the news, you're not going to be relaxing when you finish, because it's going to be all bad news pretty much, you know. So I encourage you to do that. So,
That's true. You know, Mother, you mentioned about, you know, anyone reading and digesting these volumes, you know, we have to believe, and we're changing. But we also have to recognize the fact that during that transformation, that transmutation that Jesus is performing in us, it's going to be two steps forward, one step back. So not to get discouraged on the one step back. Because at the end of the day, you're still one step forward. I really believe that to be true. And I think we've all experienced that.
And God allows that, because that's how he teaches us, through our mistakes. And we grow in trusting in his mercy. So when we fall and make a mistake, and he's very merciful, all you have to do is be sorry, and he forgives you. And get up, pick yourself up and go. And so you've grown in that way, in trusting in his mercy. And that's what he wants us to do. That's loving him. That's showing him your love. So don't worry about your failures. He uses them and brings a greater good out of everything that happens to you, if you trust in him and have confidence in him.
That's right. Yeah. And again, we need those situations that God's permissible will allows, you know, those sort of obstacles to our grace. Because it's a means of exercising our virtues. Otherwise, how would we do it if we didn't have these sort of confrontations and issues throughout the day? It's a great experience to exercise. It's almost like taking quizzes throughout the day. Where, what do you take quizzes for? Well, you're preparing for the test. So we're taking all these quizzes, preparing for our final exam. And it's been a few years since your last final exam, right, Sister Teresa?
Hi, Peter. And now I am in Talamello.
I know. How great. That's beautiful.
I feel more at home, I can tell you. More homey. And yeah, the story that Mother was telling before made me think one thing is very important for me when I think about the religion's life. If you know, sometimes you can read a book or you can watch a movie about a saint. And if you follow all the story of the saint, you can know that at the time that the saint live his life or her life, there is a big changing in the world. Always around is negative. And the presence of this saint, the life of this saint, is the remedy from God to resolve this problem in the world. But not always the saint know about the problem in the world. Like this lady, she didn't know about the Second World War. And for example, there are some saints like Teresa d'Avila. She know about the problem that Martin Lutero make in the church. She know about, and she start to say, I want to pray for the church, especially in that time that the women cannot do many things. But she say, with the prayer I can. But other saints, little saints like Teresa Los Andes, some days ago, we watched a movie, and there is always a whole, also in that case was a big problem in the world, the second or the first war. And she was a very special soul, a very special little soul, but she didn't know about this problem in the world. But her life was the remedy from God for resolve this problem. And also, if we think about Luisa, she didn't know about, she only the first time she knew about the war in Africa, and she offered herself for 40 days. But after, she know that there were many problem in the world, but she didn't know about, if this problem was in the present time, in the future time. She know only that there was a problem in the, and she offered herself. So it's not, yes, sometimes it's important to know, but only for prayer. And also sometimes we don't know how Jesus use our life for resolve this problem in a way that we cannot imagine. But we have to know about, because if we don't know about divine will, we cannot cooperate with Jesus in this big loving war. This is because he say, hey, I have my war, but it's a war of love. So it's important for us read, not study, but love, read with love this writing. And my meditation for today is from the hour of the Passion, specifically is the third hour, the legal supper. And I read only some part, but I want to focus on a few words that call my attention. And I go slowly because I compare my book in Italian where I start my meditation and in English. And Luisa say, Jesus, my life, your sweet and penetrating gaze seems to search all of the apostles, and also in this act of taking food, your heart remains pierced in seeing your dear apostles still weak and listless, especially the perfidious Judas, who has already put a foot in hell. And you, from the bottom of your heart, say bitterly, what is the utility of my blood? Here is a soul so favored by me, yet he is lost. So, and after we can read, we can continue to read, and we can, yes, I'm here. But in the midst of those most sweet and divine harmony, I hear sorrowful heartbeats escaping. These are for lost souls, because this hour, at one point, Jesus feel the pain, but at the same time, he called John on his heart here for have the experience, the love of Jesus in his heart. And at one point, Luisa asked Jesus, I want to do the same. I want to put my head on your heart. And she say, but in the midst of those most sweet and divine harmonies, the harmonies of the heart of Jesus, I hear sorrowful heartbeats escaping. These are for lost souls. Oh Jesus, please do not allow any more souls to be lost. Let your heartbeat flowing through them. Make them feel the heartbeats of the life of heaven, just as your beloved disciple John felt them, so that attracted by the gentleness and the sweetness of your love, they may all surrender to you. O Jesus, as I remain upon your heart, give food also to me, as you gave it to the apostles, the food of love, the food of the divine word, the food of your divine will. O my Jesus, do not deny me this food, which you so much desire to give me, so that your very life may be formed in. So we have a big opportunity to read these writings, because it's a way to put our head, our ear on the heart of Jesus. The writing of divine will is the fullness of the heart of Jesus. And we can help Jesus, we can help John to save souls, because in this heart, yeah, we, how many times we can read in this writing that Jesus has in pain for the way that the people live in the world, and he called through these writings to help. And the word that is important for me, my meditation, was the loss of souls, and to help to have the experience of John. Through John, Jesus called the souls. It's not only from his heart directly. The kind that can touch the heart of the soul that are in danger. He want to call us. So he called John, and John was the first who has the experience to hear this heart. And at the same way, he called us for do the same joke, the joke of love. So it's important for living this, especially the hour of the Passion, not only for our goodness, for the soul, the good of our soul, but for know that the work that we do with Jesus is for the salvation of our, and that this is important. Also, she speak about the food. We cannot have, I say, indigestion of this writing. We have to take little by little. With the food is more easy. And we don't live only by, with bread. We live with the word of God, and with the word of God is also we have to eat and have a good digestion of this this word, because the good digestion is the growing of the divine life in ourselves. It's not important. Okay, today I read all one book, all full book. No, it's important. I read, I don't remember where, that Santa Annibale Maria di Francia, he read only two passages every day. He was the spiritual director, the first soul who understand how much important are these writings. So it's important to take the food, to have a good digestion, because it's not, we have not to understand only with the mind, but to live the life.
Beautiful. You know, there's so many things there. You know, you mentioned the indigestion, and that's exactly why, you know, Jesus explains to us that he feeds us very slowly, little by little. You know, it's like feeding a baby. You know, you give the baby some food. You don't give the baby more food as the baby's chewing. You wait for the baby. You're looking carefully, you know, chewing, swallow, digest. Oh, maybe not digest, but swallow before you can give more. You know, Jesus tells Luis also that he says, as much I've already given you that you haven't fully masticated, you haven't fully chewed. So again, that digestion, I think, is a great point. I'm going to have to use that. I'm going to write that down. You know, both you and Mother were speaking about, you know, how valuable it is to read and to understand what God has given us. Father Pablo Martin, in the book he wrote, The Little Catechism of the Divine Will, which, by the way, is available on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. I think it's in the Divine Will Resource Library. He states, quote, "What is not known cannot be loved. We love with the same measure by which we know." And we've talked about that, Mother, about the silly analogy. You know, if we had a little rock and then we find out that rock is a gem, wow, we're going to take that rock from the drawer and put it in maybe in a safe deposit box. So we're going to pay more attention to it as it increases in value. And again, every time we read, every time we grow deeper, we're going to recognize the value of this. Before we go into the break, Mary, we're talking about our Blessed Mother. How could we not? St. Louis de Montfort reminds us, quote, "We can never give more honor to Jesus than when we honor his mother. And when we honor her simply and solely to honor him, all the more perfectly we go to Jesus, her son." So we can never honor her. Our Lady is guiding us by the directions of her Holy Son. And the School of Mary hopefully also is guided by our Blessed Mother. Also, Radio Maria, under the patronage of our Blessed Mother, is 100% listener supported. There are no infomercials. There is no one trying to sell you something you don't need. So it really comes down to, we need to support them if we can, whether it be with prayers, with financial assistance. You know, God knows what we can do and what we cannot do, and he's only expecting us to do what we can do. So if you can, please, if you'd like to make a donation, you can call Radio Maria at 1-888-408-0201, or you can go to radiomaria.us. And we have a little incentive here. If you make a one-time donation or a reoccurring monthly, which is actually more desirable, because it's always nice to know what's coming and when, we will send you a relic prayer card of Luisa, which includes a piece of her clothing. So that'll be sent to everyone. So we really appreciate anything you can do, because again, you're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice at our home. You know, Jesus tells us that, you know, he's been working for 6,000 years with his Blessed Mother to dispose us, to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we're created by God. He says the time has come. It's now. We've actually finally arrived. We're finally back to the other side. Finally.
Starting out with Mass and wishing you the best. fires to burn. I've seen the tables turn. I'm on the other side.
Listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
Hey, thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. It's with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. What a great day to spend every day with Mother and the sisters. You know, I forgot one piece on the donation. Sort of plug. There is a Lentathon or a Mariathon coming up in March, and we have a really great incentive to give to someone. I think I have one. I don't know if I have two. But several years ago, a woman by the name of Maria Sirocco, who founded the St. Michael's Gattabandal Center in California, she was actually in Gattabandal, and actually one of the seers, Maria Loli, lived with her for a while. And during one of the apparitions, Our Lady visited the home and kissed a few of the rosaries that were in the house, in the home. And we have at least one of those that were kissed purportedly by Our Lady, of course, because I wasn't there. But yeah, it was kissed by Our Lady. And that'll be given as an incentive on that day. I'll leave it to the engineer, Kevin, to decide how to do that. But we have that as a gift. Besides, we also have the relic card. So again, talking about St. Hannibal de Francia, I don't know if you're going to go into that, Sister Elizabeth, but why don't we just hear from you first, and then we can always talk on St. Hannibal later. Sister?
Hi, hello. I wasn't going to talk about St. Hannibal.
You don't have to. I will later. Don't worry. I'm just going to go.
Okay. So, but yeah, talking about the secrets and the wonders. So I have here from volume 35, December 18, 1937. All that is done in the divine will acquires life, and these lives swim and flow, these of love of the divine volition. I really like how Jesus is explaining these many of the secrets and wonders of the divine will, kind of in images, in pictures, and it really helps, like Sister Teresa was talking before, you know, to digest them, to put them into practice, to really, you know, like, yes, put the acts and rounds in the practice. And so it says here, daughter of my will, each thing that a creature does, keeping my will as principle in life, no matter how small it may be. It says later, only every little trifle, you know, contains one divine life. Therefore, in the endless sea of my will and of my love, one can see many little lives of love and light swimming and floating, having taken their place inside our sea. Oh, how repaid we feel, because what she gave us in her little love is life of love, and what she gave us in doing her acts is life of light. They have been formed in the center of the life of our fiat, which possesses the true life. and therefore lives are the things that come from it. My fiat creates them first, forming them within itself. Then it puts them out, delivering them from its divine womb. Therefore, each I love you possesses the life of love. Each adoration possesses the life of divine adoration. Each exercise virtue possesses one the life of divine goodness, one the wisdom, one the fortitude, one the power, one the sanctity. Since they are little lives, they have received life from our life. They don't know how to be alone. So they run and come to continue their little lives inside our endless sea. Oh, how they love us. They may be small, but we know that a creature can only give us little things because the big ones, immensities, are ours. The creature doesn't even know where to put them if we were to give them. So it is necessary for them to take refuge in us. And we, seeing her in our seas, feel repaid with that love that we want from the creature. This reminded me also of Saint Faustina, you know, how she was doing her usual work, something with the beads. And she was telling, Jesus, each this bead that I put is the soul I want to save. And still, how much more can we do with this? Let's say little things and trifles, you know, as acts of the divine will, in the divine will, whatever we do, you know, thinking how to bring souls to Jesus, as Mother was saying before, that's kind of the only sure way, you know, to also fight against temptations. Today's gospel was the temptations in the desert. And really, so many times Jesus tells Luisa how to, you know, shun this darkness from our soul, like really thinking only how to please him and how to bring him souls. It reminds me also one other image from the Saint Teresa of Avila, that Teresa was mentioning her interior castle, the book, and she's saying like there's this castle in front of the castle and all around it are this ugly animals, the snakes, the rats, are like our temptations, you know, things that are taking us away from God. And so it's kind of really hard, and many times even we can't conquer it by ourselves. And like Mother said, really the only sure way, you know, it's with the divine will, doing acts and rounds.
Yes, you talk about that moat too. That's probably a moat around the castle there that's filled with all those creatures. It's interesting. You know, one thing, Sister, I was thinking about also when you were saying that, that, you know, God gives us imagery. You know, he helps us because I think, you know, a simple soul is, I think when we see something, we understand it better. And one of the images that came to mind was, you remember when Jesus healed the blind man? Again, it was represented as a physical blindness, but it can also mean, more importantly, a spiritual blindness. But Jesus says there are no blind souls. In fact, he says in that little catechism of the divine will, he says, quote, there are no blind souls, no blind souls. On the contrary, every piece of knowledge grants them a greater vision, end quote. So like Mother and you just explained, as we grow deeper, as we read, as we listen, as we digest, first masticate, then digest, we're beginning to see more clearly. It was like that song, I can see clearly now, the rain's gone, but I can see clearly now, the sin is gone. I'm not going to sing for you, so don't get nervous. But it's true. And again, every day, every moment, that's the spiritual awakening. Back to you, Mother, Sisters.
Yeah, so I want to talk about what Sister Teresa was saying of the food, of how Luisa was asking Jesus to also give her the food of his divine will. And I was like, today, gospel, about how Jesus was tempted from the devil. And he was like, something that struck me a lot is that how he, like the devil was taking Jesus's, not Jesus's, but like his knowledge about the Bible or about the word of God to try to tempt him. Because the first time he's saying to him like, oh, if you're the son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread. And then Jesus said, it is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And then he says, for it is written, he will command his angels. So he was trying to imitate God. And he always does that. He tries to imitate by, because he knows everything. I mean, he knows the Bible. He knows the word of God because he was an angel. So of course, he's got the wisdom who then became bad to try to get us. And I was reading on volume 13, October 9, 1921. It says, I was thinking in the act in which my sweet Jesus was having the Last Supper with his disciples, and my lovable Jesus in my interior told me, my daughter, while I was having supper with my disciples, it was not only them that I had around me, but the whole human family. One by one, I had them near me. I knew them all. I called them by name. I also called you. I gave you the place of honor between me and John, and I constituted you little secretary of my will. And while I divided the lamp in offering it to my apostles, I gave it to all and to each one. That lamb bled dry, roasted, cut to pieces, spoke of. And then further down it says, because I too wanted food from them. Each thing that they would do, I wanted to be food for me. I wanted the food of their love, of their works, of their words, of everything. And then Jesus tells him, Luisa tells him, my love, how can it be that our operating becomes food for you? And Jesus, it is not on bread alone that one can live, but on that to which my will gives the virtue of being able to make one live. And if bread nourishes men, it is because I. So when I read this, I was like, wow, like you read it on the gospel and then you read it back in divine will. Like there's no difference. It's the same thing. And divine will has always been and is always going to be. And because in the homily, the priest was saying that we need to come to like win or like get over these temptations, you just need to know the word of God. And I'm realizing that Jesus is talking about the bread of the acts, because acts are life. So the more we do acts, the more the life comes out of us, and the more food we can give to God, because we need to give God to God and also to the souls. Like we are nourishing everybody as well as we are nourishing ourselves. And yeah, it's just beautiful how Jesus, like, because when I was at church, I was listening to the priest and I was like asking Jesus, like, but what do you mean about the bread? Like, what's the really bread that you're talking about that you are saying to Satan? Like, not only like you can survive of bread alone, like, what are you talking about? And then he gave me this written and I was like, wow, like, that's amazing. Like, it all connects, everything is divine will. So I really encourage you all to keep fusing yourself and uniting yourself in, and you will find that origin and that beginning from what you were created.
Oh, very well said. Thank you, Sister Pamela. You know, you mentioned about, I'm going to date myself. When I was growing up, maybe mother remembers this. There was a commercial, a bread commercial, and it used to say, one does not live on bread alone. And they had this like halo around this person's head. That's all they said. But I think that was interesting. Another interesting thing also for those of you who are listening who don't maybe know Mother Gabriel Maria as much as we do, right there, Sister Pamela mentioned that Jesus calls Luisa the secretary of the divine will. Very prestigious position, actually. You know, secretary is not something frivolous like sometimes it's used or depicted in movies. So Mother, just close your ears for a moment. But Mother Gabriel Marie was the secretary to Mother Angelica for over 33 years. So again, it's a very prestigious position. It's a very important position. It's a big amount of responsibility. And we're so graced and so blessed to have her and all the sisters. Back to you, sisters. Okay, Mother, you can take your hands off yours.
So earlier in this program, we were talking about secrets. And the little passage I felt that Jesus was inspiring me to share today, it actually mentions that. So Jesus' sacred heart is burning for each and every one of us. And he yearns so much for us to know the truth about the divine will, and all of heaven really wants us to live in the kingdom of the divine will, because it's like with that book, that which awaits us. Like the more accidental glory we receive, the more we make all creation happier and all of heaven happy. So the passage I like to read today is from January 25th, 1922. Each truth contains within itself a distinct beatitude, happiness, joy, and beauty. What it means to have known on earth one more truth about the divine will when the soul is in heaven. So in this passage, Jesus tells her that like every divine truth that the soul knows on earth, it's a divine seed that the soul receives. So when the soul goes to heaven, all these divine truths about the divine will that the soul already knew on earth, they'll be planted in heaven. heaven, and all the other blessed will enjoy from it, and that blessed will be like the fountain. So this is the paragraph I like to read. So Jesus tells Luisa, "Now, my daughter, in order to console you and so that you may be more attentive in listening to my truth, I want to tell you which ones are the truths that glorify me the most. They are those which regard my will, since the primary reason for which I created man was that his will be one with his creator. But man, having withdrawn from my will, rendered himself unworthy to know the values, the effects, and all the truths it contains. This is the reason for all my attentions with you, that between me and you, our wills would run together and be always in highest accord. In fact, so that the soul may open the doors and become disposed to knowing the truths that my will contains, the first thing is wanting to live of my will. The second is wanting to know it. The third is to appreciate it. Therefore, with you, I open the doors of my will, that you may know its secrets, which man had buried inside my womb, as well as its effects and the value it contains, and as many truths as you come to know about my will, so many seeds you receive, and so many divine secretaries form your cordage. Oh, how they make feasts around you, having found one to whom to confide their secrets." So all these truths we learn about the divine will, they're all these seeds that Jesus is giving us, so they'll be planted in heaven for all eternity. And it's really encouraging because just reading this passage, it's like Jesus is like, keep on encouraging you to just keep on learning more about these divine truths, because for all eternity, we'll keep on learning more things about God and it'll never stop. Because all eternity, isn't it, wouldn't be enough for us to learn about God, because all the blessed in heaven are still continuing to learn so much about God.
Amen. And again, remember what our Blessed Mother explains to us in the language of heaven, Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Meditation of One, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding." Unbelievable. Hello, sister. Oh, sister, I think the microphone's off. Sister Magdalena. Oh, no, we lost you, I think. So we pulled the plug. While sister's getting that microphone queued up, you know, it's just really incredible that all of the meditations in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, which you can find again on our website, queenofthedivineworld.org, are invaluable as it's early.
Yes.
Now I can, yes.
Okay, yes. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Okay lang po. Salamat. I'm very, very good. So speaking of secrets, you know, one of the effects of secrets actually is a beautiful effect of that is confidence. Jesus told us that once we find out about the secrets, the effect is confidence, and that confidence gives us joy and peace. And we don't get disturbed with anything because we're confident that we are loved by God. So a little passage here on January 6, 1900, on volume 3rd, and it talks about confidence and how it's also our staircase, our way to the divinity. Just a short passage here that I'm going to share with you. "Confidence has two arms. With one, it embraces my humanity, and it uses my humanity as a staircase in order to ascend to my divinity. With the other, it embraces the divinity and draws celestial graces in torrents in such a way that the soul remains all inundated within the divine being. When the soul is confident, she is certain to obtain what she asks. I let my arms be bound. I let her do whatever she wants. I let her penetrate even into her heart. And I let her take by herself that which she has asked from me. If I did not do so, I would feel myself in a state of violence." So here it is. You know, the sisters earlier were talking about, you know, the Bible, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and now the books of heaven. And like I mentioned in the past, you know, it's like a banquet. You know, the Bible, it seems like they're the manual, you know, the menu or the manual. But the book of heaven is the application. And Sister Pamela earlier mentioned about, you know, even the devil knows the manual. The problem, the difference is that Satan knows the manual very well. He even quoted during today's passage, you know, reading at Mass, you know, the temptation of the Lord, today's Temptation Sunday, but he doesn't know how to apply it. So the application is basically attaching ourselves to humanity, the staircase, basically. The secret is this. How the first God moved man, how did God move man? By becoming man himself. God condescended became man so that we can become divine. So now everything that Jesus did in his humanity, we can partake in that. That is about the divine will. We partake in his human acts, take it from him, and then because he is also God, when we take his humanity, his acts, and everything, his attributes, even his suffering, we can return it to God now in divine, because when we take on all of Jesus, we're not only taking his humanity, but he's also taking his divinity. And God is not stingy. He wants to give us all. He gives all the opportunities, mercy, the divine mercy, everything. He gives us all the sacrament of confession. But then confession and going to the sacraments and going to mass is not enough. He wants us to be completely united with him at every moment of our life. So that when we call, when we sleep, when we rest, when we teach, we talk, everything, we call on Jesus. Do think in my thinking, walk in my walking. And this is so beautiful, because when we walk, when we think, when we talk, it's no longer I doing it. It's Jesus in me. And when the eternal Father looks at me, he looks at his only son in me. Isn't that so beautiful? This is the staircase. Once we have this, we are confident that now I can return all of these acts and rounds, my I love yous to nature, I can return it to the eternal Father. And when he says it, and it's Jesus doing it in us, it's now divinity, and we can even pass purgatory. And we're not only doing it for, we can do it for the whole humanity, all the our family members, loved ones, everybody in purgatory, even in heaven, even though they are already blessed in heaven, they can also partake in this joy, in this glory, accidental glory, and we can also even partake in God's essential glory. Now, essential glory only belongs to God. We can partake in it. It is now possible. So we can do accidental glory, essential glory. I mean, I am so excited just thinking about it. So think about, don't enjoy the menu. Don't enjoy just the menu. Take the menu. And then once you know the ingredients and all that, digest it, masticate it, but don't get indigestion now. Take it, enjoy it. And don't just be happy in one moment. Grab everything. Take it all. So that you can feel joy and happiness every moment, be it disturbance, suffering will not even affect us anymore. We can find joy in everything because now we are doing it for God.
Right, amen. You know, as you mentioned about, again, that word moving God. And again, Jesus explains to Luis and to us that it was the souls of the Old Testament that moved God for redemption, for our Blessed Mother. And now it's up to us to move God for the gift of living the divine will to reign amongst the creatures. It's just, it's incredible. We have a task. We have a huge job. And it's a joyful job. It's the only job really in the world. And then we're here. Mother, we've got about a minute and a half left. Can you give us some closing thoughts,
please? Do acts and rounds and divine will. It's very, very, very important, you know. And I think sometimes we think that we're not doing acts and rounds and divine. I just wanted to read something here. If I have a minute, how much time do I have? Like a minute and a half?
A minute and a half.
Volume 36, it says here, Luis was saying, after this, I was thinking to myself how miserable I am. I feel like I haven't done anything for Jesus, for all the graces he gave me. Who knows how much I should love him? Instead, I'm so cold. It's true that I can't love anyone other than Jesus, but I should be all on fire, and I'm not. As I was thinking that, he came back and, reproaching me sweetly, said, my daughter, what are you doing? Do you want to waste time? Don't you know that all you should care about is knowing whether or not a state is in my will and doing it? In my will, everything is love, breathing, heartbeat, motion. Even the human will wants nothing other than to love me. My will, jealous of the creature, surrounds her with an air of love so that I breathe only that love. Your Jesus never looks at what the creature feels, because many times feelings can deceive her. I look at her will and what she really wants. That's all I take. How many things there are that she feels but does not do. But if she wills, all is done. So we can't worry about feelings. We're always thinking, you know, I don't feel. Luisa didn't feel like she made these acts. It's not about feeling. You want to love God with his own love when you receive communion. I say that all the time. I don't feel any different, but I really believe that I am loving him with his love because I desire it. He takes the desire of your heart, and he makes some realities. Don't worry about your feelings. You are doing acts and rounds in the divine will if you desire it, if you want it, if you really feel that, believe that what these volumes say is the truth. And he does do all these things in and through you if you desire it.
Amen. Well, Mother, sisters, it seems like we just started, but we're out of time, unfortunately. I'm going to close with just a short quote from Ephesians 2:8. Quote, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. it is the gift of God, end quote. This gift of living the divine will is a gift. It's a mystical gift that's been given to each and every one of us. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. And again, go to RadioMariaPlease.us and do what you can. Mother, sisters, ciao for now. And we'll see each other next week. Love everyone. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.